Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan McPherson. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us. We got a great program here today. But first, let me tell you, as always, we are broadcasting from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites here in Sandy Springs. And as a reminder also, to make sure you're connected with us on social media, at Twitter, at Business Radio X. And today, we're using the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. You can also follow me personally on Twitter. All tweets and comments are welcome there, and you can go to at Ryan Redhawk to connect. Also, check out our Facebook page, please, and like us and give us your thoughts and comments there. And now it's my distinct pleasure to welcome to the Business Radio X flagship studio, President and CEO of Trustworks Inc.'s, Kevin Ekmark. How you doing, Kevin?
Good, Ryan. How you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time out to join us this morning. I know it's a rough day out there on those Atlanta streets.
Right.
yeah. But we're in here, nice and cozy in the studio now. And we're going to be talking about Trustworks Inc. and how you're out there changing the world. So tell our listeners a little bit about your organization.
Yeah. So we basically found a major issue with small businesses not having a real service that can help them with their online presence. So we wanted to produce an affordable and effective web presence solution. So we've created it very relationship oriented, whereas a lot of it's a little bit different from a regular agency where you just kind of get passed off from a person who specializes in X, Y, and Z, to where you have one point of contact who pulls all the levers for you. So
so you have like an account manager or somebody who really works with you personally.
Yeah, we call it a web operative.
Okay.
So we think they're a little bit more than an account manager. Mm-hmm. So we call them our internet marketing specialists. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more of a concierge service.
Yeah, but you only have to have one person on speed dial that you know if anything goes wrong, you can connect and you won't be talking to somebody different each and every time.
Exactly. That's the point. And it's really just become a real part of your business so that you don't have to retrain someone on how to understand the ins and outs of how you operate.
And there's so much to developing an online presence. I mean, so many layers to that. How do you stay up to date with the latest and greatest in technology there?
Yeah. So personally, I wake up really early and stay up pretty late.
Okay.
Just reading a lot.
Yeah.
Part of it's reading. And then the other part's just being a part of that world. So I'm really active on Twitter, really investing in Snapchat right now.
Mm-hmm. How is that helping you?
You know, Snapchat's one of those things where I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I feel like the more active you are and the more value and the more fun you have with it, acting natural, there's a lot more to gain from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a lot of consistency. It's probably one of the hardest ones out of all the networks I'm working on right now in terms of time commitment. Which is pretty interesting.
Okay. But you're learning more about it. Oh, you're getting involved and seeing how you can leverage that for you, not only your business, but for your clients as well.
Yeah, exactly. And for myself, it's all about attention and grabbing the attention of people. It's one of those tools where you know that if someone's viewing it, they're holding it down, they're watching, and you have your undivided attention. Whereas if you're on Twitter, then you're seeing a lot of things in your stream all at once, and it's distracting.
Yeah.
So it's pretty unique in that way.
Yeah, it's Twitter can be quite confusing and trying to sort through all that noise out there. And there's always new articles or things you can read up on to help you leverage Twitter better.
Yeah.
But again, you've got to be spread out from what I'm understanding from you, spread out on even more platforms to be able to leverage your business and your online presence.
Yeah, you know, and you can do that. I really like to focus on the things that you're really good at. So if Facebook's the one thing you can really charge and take a hold of, then that's what you should focus on before you move to the next thing. And we provide that service so you can focus on Snapchat as a business owner, and we'll take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, here at Business Radio X, we leverage Twitter quite heavily and Facebook.
Right.
We've kind of played with Instagram and some other things, but we figure we are really good at both of those and connecting with people and continuing the conversation there. It sounds like we're doing the right thing by focusing on what we're good at.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And you're leveraging your demographics too. I mean, Snapchat, for the most part, it's younger millennial and teenager right now.
Right.
But we're seeing an explosion in
for business
in
use.
All age groups, yeah.
Yeah, for corporations. Like, they can actually adopt Snapchat and leverage that to help them in their online presence.
Yeah, exactly. Taco Bell was probably one of the first ones to actually jump on that. So it's pretty interesting to watch them evolve with that process.
You got me intrigued. I'm going to have to go out and start researching a little bit about Snapchat myself. I've certainly heard of it, but never really checked it out myself. So So TrustWorks, Inc., you've been around for a while. How long has the company been in business?
Yeah, we are about to celebrate our five-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
So, thank you.
What are you going to do to celebrate?
I don't know.
a company party of some kind? Maybe a company outing?
Yeah. Well, we probably have a company outing.
Nice, like right. So that's good. So about around 5 years. What was your background prior to that? Did you have any entrepreneurial irons in the fire before TrustWorks?
I'd always known I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I kind of just fell into it just by knowing a couple of people from my old job who connected me with the right people who started the company. Mm-hmm. And so they brought me on as a partner in that process.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because that's got to be difficult to just kind of set up your own shop all by yourself.
Yes.
And it's certainly a good idea to have some partners and leverage their expertise and their knowledge and connections as well.
Exactly. It made the road a lot easier for me.
What was some of those early lessons that you experienced that you could share with some entrepreneurs out there who are thinking about chasing their dream?
Yeah, so we probably spent the first 3 years just trying to figure out who we are and who we wanted to target. So it was a lot of just trial and, you know, messing up and then figuring out how to fix it. And, you know, failing fast and moving on from there. Over the past couple of years, we really found our way and really started exploding in growth just because we focused on a vertical that no one was really focusing on, which was family entertainment. So bowling alleys, skating rinks,
right.
Trampoline parks. So they're pretty much underserved in terms of competition for us. And so now we're in a place where we're expanding that and we're really hitting small business pretty hard too. Right. So we have our nice vertical and our focus, which was a huge help for us growth wise to actually focus on something and know who we're.
But family entertainment. So that must be fun.
It is.
Right.
Fun.
Yeah. You're a family man yourself?
Not yet. Yeah. I'm married, but, you know, we have two bunnies. That's about it.
I don't know where you could take the bunnies for fun, but
absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, right. It's just stay in their cage. But that's certainly a market out there that is growing as there's more places popping up around town that I've seen.
Absolutely.
From bowling alleys to fun centers to all these different things.
It's exploding. You know, I think it goes back to people just wanting to have experiences. So they're willing to pay money to go hang out with friends now. Whereas, you know, instead of buying stuff, we want to be with people and have that fun. Mm-hmm. So, you know, trampoline parks are exploding right now. They're everywhere. You know, Sky Zone, Get Air, Rock and Jump. Those are all big companies that are in Atlanta right now.
Right. So how are you out there effectively marketing your services to attract new business?
So over the past few years, we've done a really horrible job at marketing ourselves. And that's just because we've been hyper-focused on helping our customers. Mm-hmm. So primarily, we grew word of mouth.
So through referrals,
through referrals, exactly. So just doing a good job and making sure that we worked that network well. Mm-hmm. So that alone got us up to a few hundred customers. So right now, mid-January, we really ramped that up and we're hitting a ton of content. So I am producing probably 3 or 4 blog posts a week, lots of video content. So we have about 2 different shows that our company produces and then a ton of advertising on Facebook.
Right. So. Yeah. So now you are like that go-to media outlet for somebody in that industry, in that niche market who wants to be heard or seen. They think of your company and say, hey, you know what? I would like to engage them to maybe not only do business with them, but help, you know, use their platform to let other people know what services we offer.
Yeah, exactly. So we look at the content that we're throwing out there as we want to add value to the mix. So that's how we're really attracting people, making sure that we're answering questions. And I'll give that stuff out for free. Okay. I don't care. If you feel like you're going to take that information and run with it, good for you.
Yeah.
But I'm betting that 99% of you aren't going to be able to execute the way that we can and that they'll eventually come back and use us.
So you're doing blog posts, video content. That's got to be kind of challenging, kind of sit down and think about all the things to talk about too. How do you map that out?
Yeah. So everything that we do, whether it's our customers or ourselves, we build out content calendars.
Right.
So, you know, we know exactly what's going out on Monday, Tuesday, every week, every month. So it's definitely a process, an upfront process, but it's really worth it to get organized and know what you're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And we leave room for those last minute things to where, you know, Facebook makes a huge update and we need to make an announcement about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, but you're trying to market yourself to anyone around the country as well, not just here in Atlanta.
Right, exactly.
And that's a way to draw customers and businesses from across, you know, out in the West Coast.
Right, exactly. So we have customers in New York City, California, so it's and Canada too. And we're talking to people in Australia right now.
Nice.
So it's all markets at the same time is tough, but it is definitely our goal.
Yeah, and it's just something you got to keep feeding the machine. You can't stop, you know, once you've kind of started this momentum to stop, you know, because then people go to your website and they're like, see, your last blog post was from 2014. It's not relevant anymore, right? It's not update. So the more updated it is, the more relevant it is, like you said, Facebook has a new announcement, then making your blog post, you know, kind of piggyback on that. And that's certainly relevant today information that that users can, you know, can get information from.
So. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, we look at a web presence as it's no longer just a brochure or a static piece of, you know, paper basically online. Mm-hmm. It's a living and breathing organism that needs to be updated constantly.
Yes. And that's kind of what we do here at Business Radio X. We're audio content and you know, podcasting format where people can consume that. But there's also websites out there where you can upload the audio file and it will translate it to text format for you.
Yeah.
So now you have a blog post that just you speaking.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? As opposed to on a blank piece of paper and trying to write. And and so we know of a lot of our in-studio guests have used that to their advantage as well. And so technology is changing. How do you, you know, stay ahead of the technology curve yourself?
Just lots of learning.
Yeah.
Lots of learning.
Do you go to, you know, trade shows or expos or conferences? Is that a place for you to kind of network with like-minded people?
Yeah. I backed away from it for a while just to focus on growing the business. So I'll usually go online and watch them from afar. But I think we're going to be ramping up a lot of time invested in going to those trade shows now. Part of it's just getting our name out and making sure our competition knows that we're there.
Right.
And it's just to be talked about, basically.
Right. So that you mentioned the competition. You're not the only players in this space, you know, but what does separate you and your organization from everyone else out there?
That's definitely the web operative. That's it's that customer service, that relationship focus. Whereas we're not a traditional agency, which is makes us different. And, you know, our margins might be smaller because of that, but I think we have higher customer retention to where we're looking at the high 90s for retention, which is pretty unusual for an agency. I love the relationship because it makes our customers feel like we're actually taking care of them and we're invested in the company. So there's a lot of satisfaction behind that too for our team members.
And the web operative, what are they, what's their background usually like? Are they in sales? Are they more of an IT person? What does their kind of a character look like?
Yeah, so the first thing we always ask people is, do you have empathy? And so
do you care? Yeah.
So they really need to be able to understand small business owners. And, you know, they come across all kinds of struggles, like how am I going to pay my bills this month? And when you look at something like our service, which is basically a car payment, you know, you really have to make it worth their while. So these people are expert marketers, especially with creating content. They have to be great writers, and they have to know, you know, have a handle on the pulse of where things are right now in terms of social media.
Yeah, social media, technology, but more importantly, that that web operative is someone who will listen to the client and put a together a package that really serves them best. So it doesn't matter if they have a marketing background or an IT background or what have you. So what does that kind of a vetting process look like when you are looking to hire new web operatives? Is there like a template or questions or things that you they must fit in, or is it more just a personal feel?
It's a little bit of everything. You know, as we've grown, and we're, I'm taking applications now.
Okay.
As we've grown, we've really changed the way we vet people. Part of it is the way we feel about them, and they go through a multi-stage process of meeting different people within the team. As at this point, I'm interviewing everyone, and you know, I want to make sure we have that decision making on me for a while. After that, it's about three other people that the interview will. We'll meet and make sure they pass all the tests, basically.
Yeah. So, and then, so that's one way to recruit good talent. What are you doing over there at TrustWorks to retain the good talent?
You know, that's tough. Retaining talent, which we've done a good job of, it's making sure that people feel appreciated.
Yeah.
I really think that it's touching everyone every day, making sure that they're known and recognized, acknowledged. We do have, you know, your typical benefits package, company matching for, retirement, healthcare, all that, a open vacation policy. So similar things that most startups and agencies have.
Right. You've got to kind of offer these new incentives like this these day and age to keep the people there because there's somebody else out there offering, you know, hey, this company over here lets you bring dogs to the office. And I want to go work there because I'm a dog lover or what have you. So little things like that can go overlooked, but can make a big difference in keeping good talent in your house.
Yeah, it really can. I really think communication is just the biggest deal. I think it's often overlooked. I know probably one of my biggest mistakes was overlooking it for a while. And just recognizing that and having the self-awareness to change that, I think is really going to help us continue to grow and continue making sure that we keep those really talented people on staff.
Yeah, we've talked to many of CEOs and business owners here in the Business Radio X studios. And one recently that I remember said every morning they go in and they make it a point to talk to everyone in the office. Before they start their day at their desk solving the problems of the business, they go around and talk and greet people just on a personal level.
Yeah.
And that has made a huge difference in the company culture, which these days, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Fortune 500 or a startup, culture is everything.
And
making that culture, you know, happy, a safe place, environment, a place where you can grow as a person professionally as well. That's so important to the modern worker out there today.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Everyone on our management team, you know, they're tasked with making sure they touch everyone before they start their day.
Yeah.
So it's just a huge part of making people feel heard and appreciated.
Mm-hmm. For those listeners who may have just joined us, we're talking with Kevin Ekmark. He is president and CEO of Trustworks, located right here in Atlanta. You can call them at the office at 770-983-6791, or you can check them out on the website at trustworks.com. That's Trustworks with a Z. .com. So check them out there. And all these information we posted on our website later for you to link with him there. So coming up in 2016 for Trustworks, what are some big kind of benchmarks or big things happening for you that you're looking forward to?
Yeah. So a huge benchmark for us is to get from the hundreds of clients to the thousand mark. So our goal is to hit 1,000 customers by the end of the year.
Okay.
And that would put us probably around, we have about 20 employees right now. That would put us around 50 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
So humans don't scale very well. But I think at that level, we're doing a fantastic job and serving a lot of customers.
Right. So looking to grow the company, get more customers, but still give that good quality service out there in 2016. And so it looks like that there's a lot of things happening over there and you're growing.
Right.
But you've got to make sure it's good, solid, stable growth because you don't want to look back and say we missed something or we should have done this. And so how are you as a team and you're evaluating this as you grow, or what are some of your kind of touch points that you want to make sure you're hitting?
Yeah, that's a constant process for us. A couple of years ago, we really focused on operations and making sure that we could grow and scale well. And that's just something we touch on every single week where we have little meetings, micro meetings to make sure that we're on point with our growth and our targets and making sure that we just don't drop the ball on something. You know, nothing's worse than making a customer unhappy or underappreciated. So we really want that to be driving us every single day.
You're right. Yeah. So constantly evaluating, checking in, having certain meetings to talk about that specifically. Otherwise, it just doesn't get done if you don't make it a priority.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Very good. So a couple more questions about entrepreneurship and get your thoughts on that. Is it a good idea or a bad idea, a must have or not a big deal to have a business plan?
It's definitely a must.
Okay.
You know, whenever you go, if you're a hunter or whatever, you need to know who you or what you're hunting, you know, what animal it is and what you're going to use to catch it.
Right.
And so if you don't have a business plan, you're just kind of wandering in the dark. You're reaching for something you don't know what you're
looking for. We hear a lot of these new startups out there these days don't go for a business plan. Makes it awfully hard to get a line of credit from the bank because they're going to want to see something on paper. But we've heard that kind of time and time again here that a business plan is not as big of a deal as it once was.
Right. Yeah. And if you're looking at the traditional business plan, not a huge deal, but you really need to have your mission statement laid out. You need to know exactly what you're trying to achieve. And that gives you room to pivot when you need to. Right?
Yeah.
If we had a set in stone business statement or that said we were going to only target family entertainment, then that would change the next day. So things are really different right now. And you have to have that freedom to pivot, but you have to know your overall mission.
Right. And that business plan can change from year after year. Companies evolve and their kind of goals evolve. We're seeing that a lot, you know, with companies out there today. So, but it's for you guys, are you still working on that original business plan that you started 5 years ago? Or how much has that changed in that time?
Yeah, actually, we looked back on that a couple of weeks ago and everything that was foundational for us has stayed exactly the same. So it was great to have that. And it's even better to look back on that and have that to say, okay, we were right about this and where the world's going. And so as something to, as an archive to be able to remember and look at and help guide our next decisions, it's great to have. You know, there's minor things that we did pivot of who we're targeting, how we're actually achieving that target, and sales growth. But for the most part, we stayed on that track.
That's good. And then if you visit again next year, it may look a little different, or may have some different objectives that you want to reach. So it's good to check in and stay updated on that business plan.
Absolutely.
For sure. Okay, how about this one? A good idea or bad idea as an entrepreneur to hire a family member?
It depends.
That's what I was expecting. We hear that a lot. So we've seen it be successful for some companies. Others say we'll never do it. It just changes the whole dynamics of the office relationships as well as the home relationship.
Yeah.
Do you have any family members working at your organization?
I do not. Okay. Well, my partner has her daughter, and that works out great. They're great friends. So it's a good relationship. And they don't live under the same roof.
That's great.
Which is also good.
Yeah, you have to have clear boundaries, clear lines of communication. Otherwise, it can change the whole dynamic of the entire workforce.
Exactly.
When you have, you know, family members, you know, they're perceived favoritism, or even if it's not existing, at least, you know, the other employees are not feeling left out.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that can be a huge deal.
Yeah. Okay. What about a good idea or a bad idea to marry an entrepreneur?
I don't know what my wife would say. I think good idea.
Yeah.
You know, you really need to know going into it what the lifestyle is like.
Right.
I mean, there's days where the company demands that I'm working till 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. And that's just part of the lifestyle. As long as you're clear about that and you communicate about it and you really do make sure that, I think that separation is important, then it works out well.
Right.
But for a lot of people, it's not. Not the lifestyle they want.
No, it's not really that stability, or maybe right. It will be successful or not. And you may have to change, but you've got to kind of be in it for the long run. So that's exactly. Good, honest testimony from you. We appreciate that as well. And so what about getting out there and finding a mentor as a young entrepreneur? How important was that? And was there anyone who mentored you in the early days?
Yeah, I think that's huge. I've grown tremendously from 5 years ago. I'm definitely not the same person or businessman that I was then. I look at everything completely different. So my partner, John, is partially a mentor to me. So we have weekly conversations of just, you know, where the company's going. He's more of a quiet or a silent partner. Mm-hmm. So that works that way. Van Baird, who used to have a show here, he's been a kind of a call-on mentor for me. So if I am coming across an issue, I know that I can just call him up on the phone and say, hey, this is what I'm going through right now. What are your thoughts on it? Mm-hmm. He's an entrepreneur too.
Right.
So it's great to be able to lean on that.
Yeah. Entrepreneurship, we hear these days, is the great equalizer in the world. You know, you could have the fanciest college education and a glorious MBA, but that doesn't always mean success. But entrepreneurship, if done right, it's a crazy dream, but it can really set yourself above and beyond everyone else out there.
Yeah.
And so we're big fans of entrepreneurs. So let's turn our attention back to the business again, TrustWorks. So what does your ideal client look like?
Our ideal client is one who is really invested in their company, right? There's, just talking about entrepreneurs, there's people who kind of start a business and they really don't want to be entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. The type of people that really fit well for us are the ones who are involved and really care about growing their business. They're usually the ones who spend a little bit more, honestly. That's why we don't have the super cheap, low-rated, low-priced services. We're a little bit higher than most of our competition, but that's just because we want to make sure we get all those results. Mm-hmm. So it's the person who's really has a business sense and is willing to pay for marketing because they know it's important.
And so once they engage you, how does that process look? Does it take a lot of onboarding action plans start happening pretty quickly?
Yeah, so it takes us about 2 weeks to actually finish the onboarding process. That's just a lot of communication back and forth about getting to know your business. So we really are investing our time and our energy into becoming basically an extension of your business, as if we were an employee. So, you know, we're taking care of the training of the digital side and getting to know your business and really making sure that we handle pushing out your voice in a responsible way that you would be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
So two weeks is a good.
2 weeks, and then you get to put an action plan for them to work mm-hmm. on. Is that something you continually monitor for them, or is this a plan they work themselves?
No, that's something we continually work on.
Okay.
So every month we basically reassess it too. The web operative creates a content calendar before the month begins and says, here are the things that I want to focus on this month. What, you know, get the owner's input on it. And then the next month before that starts over, then we readdress it and say, okay, what did we hit? You know, where did we miss? and what can we improve on? Mm-hmm. So it's a constant process. You know, times are changing so fast where you really need to be able to adapt and evolve to how the world's using social media and search engine optimization. So it's a constant process.
And so what are some of those key success metrics that you can point to that you say, we've helped this client? It can't be just, hey, we've increased our Twitter followers. Right. We've got more likes on Facebook. There's got to be some return on an investment. And what are some of the things you can point to say this is really working?
Exactly. So branding and brand awareness are important, right? That's part of the marketing experience. But actually, we just had a testimony come in earlier this week of a skating rink in Florida who had been hit really hard by two hurricanes, financial crisis. And he signed on end of third quarter. He just had his best fourth quarter since 1999. He was about to close the business, thought that was it, and we basically saved it.
Wow. So that should be on the front page of your website.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. So he was up 39% in that quarter.
Yeah. And so that all can be pointed back to some of the great work that you've done, and the web operatives have helped him develop. Right. And so he's going to continually engage and grow from there. So this is not just a one-time, I'm going to help you, and then you're set, you know, out on your own. This is something that continually evolves and grows as the business grows as well.
Exactly. So we have a lawn care company in Atlanta, Simply Green.
And, yeah, familiar.
Yeah. And so he's probably been growing with internet marketing leads only about 30% year over year for the past 4 years. So he's kind of the lawn care guy to look at in Atlanta now. But he's someone who keeps, you know, trusting us to adapt and evolve our strategy year over year, and it continues to gain success. Mm-hmm. So
what can you do to improve someone's reputation? Not just their business, but maybe they've got some things online with some bad reviews, or it's, you know, some things out there. What can you do specifically to help clear that up?
Yeah, so reputation management is a huge issue right now. It's really growing rapidly. I think a lot of people are flooding Facebook with reviews right now, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of it's just we're less scared of putting our thoughts out there. Mm-hmm. So reviews are coming in, and so a lot of our customers are asking about it. The big thing is just making sure that you're acknowledging people. At the end of the day, people just want to know that you care. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's a good comment or a bad comment, just acknowledging it and say, hey, thank you so much for sharing it. If it's good, if you screwed up, then acknowledge it and fix it. So we do that. We do provide that for our customers.
Reputation management. Whether it's increasing it, being a better rep, or cleaning it up for something that may have happened in the past.
Yeah, exactly. And if it is something that actually honestly happened in the past, and you know, you guys, the company did mess up, then owning up to it and just saying, you know, hey, we messed up. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, and trying to fix it is the best way to do it. And so we walk businesses through that process.
Yeah. No, I've seen something recently on the page manager for Facebook where they have a response time now. They actually rate you on how quickly you respond to either messages or reviews and stuff. So that really does make a big deal on how, you know, quickly you're able to solve things.
Oh, yeah. It could be the difference between getting business and not now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're the one who can answer a question faster than your competition, then that's a win.
Yeah.
That's a new lead. So.
Right. Or if you had a bad customer service experience and you put that on the Twitter sphere, and if you don't respond right away from that organization, it could really go viral from that point, and then you could really get so far down the road that you can't recover from.
Exactly. You never know what's going to happen or what's going to go viral. But the other great thing about responding quickly is that sometimes people will take that review offline. Mm-hmm. So like I said, they just want to be heard. And if you can turn it into a good situation, then that's the biggest win of all.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And then you could leverage that to more business and more clients for sure. So what stresses you out the most about the business? What keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night is, gosh, part of it's just making sure that we're serving our team well and making sure that they feel appreciated.
So your employees are happy and progressing, right?
People are stressful in nature. I'm actually not staying up at late at night because I'm worried about anything. I'm more excited about growth right now.
Okay. So what are the things you're most excited about? Is the growth?
It's the growth. We're exploding right now, which is fantastic. Actually, what keeps me up at night is hiring the next person, actually.
Okay.
It's finding that right fit and making sure that they're a good culture fit. Mm-hmm. They're someone who's going to excel with the customer. So that's really what keeps me
up at night. Where to find that good talent.
Yeah.
Are you leaning on any outside organizations to help you with that?
No, we're not. We've actually leaned on, other than putting our resumes on Indeed and LinkedIn, It's been a process of mostly networking and just leaning on our friends and our personal network.
Right. Or somebody who's already happy working over there and you say, hey, do you know anyone?
Exactly.
And they can vouch for someone. Not only they're happy at their job, but they may have a network of people that they can bring along.
Exactly. And we're members, our office space is in Rome, the Galleria location, which is a co-working company in Atlanta. And so a great part of being a part of that community is that we have a huge network within that.
Right.
Co-working space.
Yeah, people coming and going all the time.
Exactly. Yep. So they're constantly looking for people who are like, hey, this person's really talented, but they're looking for a new opportunity.
Right. So just a couple more questions here as we begin to wrap up and maybe a little bit more questions about the, or not about the business. So, but I'd like to know what, you know, what kind of books are you reading at night to kind of keep you updated on what's going on or perhaps take your mind off the business?
Yeah. I've made my way through probably all the Gladwell books recently. Gary Vaynerchuk, Jim Collins. Right now, I'm kind of looking for my next book, actually.
Okay.
So that's my process.
Yeah, no, and that's, you know, got to keep feeding the mind exactly. So you can grow, educate yourself. Otherwise, you'll be just kind of treading water, and we want to be swimming forward for sure. So when you're not out there changing the world of online presence and management reputation, what do you like to do in your off time to get inspired or get motivated?
Yeah, off time, I love hanging out with my wife. We're kind of, she's definitely hustling all the time, so she works a lot. But when we do have weekends, we just kind of like to have a lot of quiet time.
Okay.
So either just walking around the neighborhood. We live in Woodstock, so there's a lot of trails
downtown
out there.
Downtown Woodstock's great.
Love it.
Yep.
So we try to go out as much as possible and just spend time together.
Right.
But we're fortunate that my in-laws have a lake house, so we do go up there whenever we can.
So you're staying pretty active at work, outside of work. Sounds like you're involved with the community. Any way that the trust work is giving back to the community? You guys do any good work in that sense?
That's actually one of our 2016 goals, is to really develop a plan of this is who we're giving to and why. Mm-hmm. I think it's a big part of our team members want to give back, and we definitely want to give back because we've been given so much.
Right.
So I think that's a good part of just being a steward of the community and of our money.
Yeah, no, it's a part of a good organization is not only they're doing good for their employees, but they're doing good for their community. They're doing good for their clients. It's just doing good overall for everyone, right?
Exactly.
And that's the hallmark of a good company. And sounds like good company and good things are happening there at TrustWorks. So please tell our listeners how they can find out more information about your organization.
Yeah, so you can go to the website, TrustWorks.com. Find us on Twitter, at TrustWorks, or Facebook. That's where we're most active. And we love meeting new people over Twitter. We do video responses. So, you know, give us a shout out, ask us a couple questions, and we'll give you an actual real-time video response.
Well, that's great for sure. So, and again, that's TrustWorks with a Z. So if you're out there looking for that, or you can just follow Kevin on Twitter. That's Kevin E. K-M-A-R-K, Kevin Ekmark on Twitter. So you can follow him there to get connected and stay up to date with all the great things happening in 2016 with TrustWorks. So if we can help you further your message or amplify your voice, please come back and be a guest again.
Absolutely.
On Business Radio X. We'd love to have you, and you can share some more success stories in 2016.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right. My pleasure. And if your company is out there doing something interesting to genuinely serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on their website at businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan McPherson. We will see you on the radio.